All right, welcome, welcome in to the 129th episode of the Dynasty Monarchy Podcast. We are really excited to have you today. Shorter report section, we go through two mock drafts, one as a regular one, one as a super flex one. I have a spicy 101 pick to show all of you as Mr. Max shrugs his head in disgust about it. Appreciate you all for tuning in. Follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Monarchy, DynastyMonarchy. Let's go.
Why, hello there, my fellow kings and queens. Welcome to the Dynasty Monarchy podcast, where you will learn how to rule over your dynasty league for years to come. Now, allow me to introduce you to your hosts.
Here we go, episode 129 of the Dynasty Monarchy Podcast. Whoever you may be, however you may be listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, welcome, welcome in. Gentlemen, I feel refreshed. The draft is upon us. We haven't had an episode in a little bit. Mr. Max, super producer, you guys are hanging out in the land. I am in dirty jersey. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
We're going, Pete. We are definitely going. I've been wheeling and dealing, making my way downtown to the running back zones.
Walking fast, faces past, and I'm homebound.
Yeah, man. Just trying to get as many running backs as I can right now. And boy, let me tell you, it is a tough, tough task to do in this offseason.
Yeah, running backs are as good as gold, right? Super producer, I know you got a couple and you're not willing to get rid of them. You're trying to get more.
Yeah, man. It seems like that's where the mindset has shifted for a lot of the leagues I'm in. Like, people are not moving running backs to save their lives. Everyone is on the wave of, oh man, this rookie class is so terrible. There's no running backs. All the running backs are already on competitors' teams. Like, competitors are not trying to move running backs. So, hey man, I don't know. I mean, I'm here for it. I like when running backs are valued, but I think it's to the point where they're kind of being overvalued. But I do understand it, though, if you're a competing team.
Yeah, it's getting hard. It's getting really hard in the streets to even get a decent running back. But, gentlemen, before we get into the episode, we haven't talked since the NCAA tournament started. Gentlemen, who's going to win it all? Right now, we're sitting here before the Sweet 16. And I just want to know, of these 16 teams left, who's going to win it?
UConn's going to win it all, man. They look unstoppable. I just don't see them losing. I if you guys want to take the field, I would like that. But I think UConn's my pick.
I really haven't been watching too many of the games, to be fair. I'm just going to go with the dark horse, man. I'm going to go with NC State with the big boy on the squad.
Love NC State, man. That guy, he should be playing D tackle. He really should. He should be protecting for Aaron Rodgers. I think I need to give him a lifetime contract with the Jets, the way their offensive line has looked the last couple of years. That's a big boy. Personally, I think UConn's great, but I think UNC has it. They have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder with Love leaving, going to Arizona. I think they meet Arizona and them are going to meet in the, I think it's the Elite Eight. The Elite Eight to punch your ticket to the Final Four. That would just be incredible. Incredible storyline. I think UNC, they find their way with their like fifth and sixth year seniors like Armando Bacot to win a championship this year. Loaded show for you today. We have a couple reports items and we're getting our first mock of the off season. We like to wait on our mocks, see where player values are at before we really start hammering home. If you want to listen in, I give a head scratcher at the 101. All right, before we get into reports from around the realm, wanted to shout out our Twitter page at Dynasty Monarchy, DynastyMonarchy. Super producer, can you give us a trade that was recently posted on there?
I could give you a trade that I just made.
Yeah, go for it.
If you guys want to talk, I mean, if you guys are looking for that, obviously we have some on Twitter too, and Mixer Seed might post this one, but I just traded what seems to be a late 2025 first, a mid 2025 second, and then a 2026 second for Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. Kind of wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
I think a first round pick for both of those guys, especially projected late, is a great one. I know Super Producer is going to put up the poll for this a little bit later tonight. We're excited to see what the listeners think, but I'd like Warren more than Najee. I think Warren might alone be worth a first round pick more than Najee would be worth a first round pick straight.
It's crazy though. What 3 years can do. I mean, Najee a couple of years ago was the 101. I mean, we're talking about mock drafts tonight. Everyone was like Najee out of Alabama. It stinks that he's a little older there. His first rookie season, like, he looked untouchable, but now to get him for a late first, I feel like I got good value, especially getting a whole backfield secured for a running back.
Yeah. I do like this trade. I know you've been trying to, you know, get running backs in this league in particular. It is a battle to try and get any type of running back, like we kind of alluded to. And, you know, you might be giving up a little bit of value here, but you know they're going to be solid plug and play guys. And, you know, you got the cuffs too. Like you said, I think that's the most important thing, is locking down the backfield. I wouldn't be super excited, let's say, if it was 2 second round picks for either one of these guys, like Najee or Jalen. So I think just to get them both, you might overpay a little bit, but the picks, you can always get the picks back. And at the end of the day, I mean, you need to start some running backs. So I do like the trade, Max.
Thanks, guy.
All right. You can vote on that trade over at our Twitter page, at Dynasty Monarchy, over there on Twitter. Again, DynastyMonarchy. Let's get into reports. The national media is a disgrace in the fact that they called the breakfast sandwich that sealed the Mike Williams deal, they called it a Taylor Ham New Jersey breakfast sandwich. I remember hearing that on the Rich Eisen show, heard it on SportsCenter. It's called a pork roll, egg and cheese for all of those out there. If you call it anything else, it's a very spirited debate in New Jersey, but beyond the pork roll side of things, let's move into the Mike Williams deal. Mr. C, 1 year, $15 million. A lot of it is incentive-based. What do you think about him moving forward as a competitor depth piece? I absolutely love him. And I think with the injury history and everything, that's the only thing that's scaring me about this landing spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a flyer. More the big-bodied guy. I mean, Garrett Wilson can be that red zone threat, but I mean, Mike Williams will probably be the true red zone threat here. And if he stays healthy, I mean, he's probably got 9 touchdown upside plus. I mean, with a full season, let's say Rodgers stays healthy as well, like, I wouldn't be mad at it. And, you know, like, as a depth contending piece, he's still going to be cheap, man. I mean, he's going to be worth, maybe a third would be an overpay in some situations, but if you're really hurting on wide receiver, to get him as like a wide receiver 4 or 5 kind of deal, where, you know, he's going to pop off like 1 or 2 weeks. I feel like especially in best ball is where I would maybe throw like a third, like mid third at him. And, you know, see if that goes through with somebody, because he'll go for like a 2 touchdown game for sure. Book it. But when that is, that's, you know, the key thing.
Mr. Max, what's your value on Mike Williams here?
I think a third's probably pretty fine. Like, I wish I could just stash him on my taxi, but I don't know. The big thing is, and you alluded at it, Pete, it's just him staying on the field. The guy, I feel like every ball, he just jumps up, then he falls down, then he gets hurt. So, I mean, he's going to have one of those games with Rodgers where he's like an MVS kind of guy. He goes and gets a deep ball for like 80, 70 yards, like in best ball, like Mr. C was talking, for a touchdown. But he's not going to be the guy there, you know. Obviously, that's Garrett Wilson. It's Breece. I really think they draft Brock Bowers. I don't know. I've also seen mocks where they trade up and get Marvin Harrison. I think it's going to be a crazy draft. I really do.
The draft is – there's so many storylines that are coming up for this draft in Detroit. I'm excited that we potentially are going to make it there. I'm excited. If you can keep it. Max?
We're going.
Is that confirmed?
No, I feel good about it though, man.
Let's cross our fingers, but I'm really excited because this has a chance to replicate the 2021 draft that we were all at. And maybe, just maybe, this one's quarterback class will be a lot better. If you look back to that 21 class, I see a lot of resemblances that almost every single position player or lineman in the top 15 picks was elite. Elite, 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 and played in the NFL and was elite. And it's just those quarterbacks that held everything down. So I think that's the only thing that this draft class has is those quarterbacks. If the quarterbacks keep it up and do well, then this potentially has a chance to be the best draft class in NFL history because the position players are that good.
A lot of wide receivers, a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of good linemen. Obviously, that's pretty usual. And I mean, I'm not too tapped in on the defensive side of the ball, but I'm sure there's a lot of players.
All right, let's keep moving forward. Jerry Jeudy gets his extension. I'll let the Cleveland boys talk about this one.
Mr. C, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, so we were kind of joking in the group chat that me and PJ kind of got our just desserts because, I mean, Mike Williams famously PJ has not liked for a while, did come around on him and started to like him recently. For me, I've never been a Jerry Jeudy guy, and this extension is questionable, I feel like, from Andrew Berry and the Cleveland front office there. But, I mean, at least it gives some clarity to that wide receiver room moving, you know, 3 years. I mean, it was a 3-year, $58 million deal. I think it's too rich for a guy who really hasn't shown much on the field. I get he's still young. You know, he could get unlocked, quote unquote, or whatever. I don't know. I still feel like I'd pay a mid-second for him, maybe. But I would never pay anything more than that until, let's say he does pop with Watson, then I'll pay more. But until I see it, that's why it's so head-scratching to me, why they just break him off a deal before he even steps on the field with Watson. But I don't know. What are your thoughts, Max?
I feel like they've got to get in early where it's like if he comes to Cleveland and he pops off and he goes for 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns and like he looks like the wide receiver that was drafted in the first round, he's going to want more than that, you know? Like I feel like they paid him a pretty penny, but I feel like if he pops – like T. Higgins got franchise tagged for $21.5 million a year, which is like – so you got him a little under that. Like franchise tag I think is what the average is it? Like the top average?
Franchise tag – I don't know off the top of my head, but I believe it's the average salary of the top five or top three players at that position for that current year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're paying him at like a top 10 wide receiver rate. I don't know. It's a lot of money. It's just, I don't think it's worth it, but I feel like if you get in early, that's the only justification that I could have for it.
Yeah. It definitely speaks a lot to the fact that the Browns like him. There must be something on the tape. There has to be an Alabama connection somewhere that knew Jerry Jeudy before. I don't know that off the top of my head. I'm not alluding to anything, but there has to be some sort of certainty that they know he's going to do well. We've seen similar deals like what the Braves have done in baseball, where they're signing these guys basically the second they step up to the big leagues because they know it's going to be so much cheaper. Like with what happened with Michael Harris the second. I know this happened. And it kind of sucks for the Rays that they did this with Wander Franco. A lot of these teams, they want to get in early so that they don't have to pay in the long run. We buried the lead here, Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. The dust has settled on it in the national media, and you've probably heard about it on all your podcasts. That initial hit is gone. We heard Mike Tomlin at the owners' meeting and the coaches' meeting down in Florida talk about how Russell Wilson has the pole position. Let's say this past offseason, in Superflex, Justin Fields was probably worth two firsts, right? What do you think he's worth now? That is the ultimate question, coming in the fact that either Pittsburgh is going to sign him this year to a big deal, long-term extension, or he's just going to hit free agency and go wherever the hell he wants. I think he is an ultimate screaming buy low right now.
Especially in Superflex, like, you could, if you got people in your league, it's like, oh, this guy's a backup. He's not going to play over Russell Wilson. Arthur Smith's there. They're going to run the ball. They only have George Pickens, blah, 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 blah. Dude, if he goes next year, let's just say, who knows what team will need a quarterback then? Let's just say the Vikings. Or somewhere like really solid. his value will instantly 4 or 5x. Like you could get him right now for so cheap.
What do you think his value is right now? If, and let's say you're playing in a league with people who know what they're doing and know that it would be selling low, so they'd want a little bit more than what you think his value is.
Like a late first.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was coming to, was late first, early second.
If you had him on your team, let's say you didn't have to win. You're kind of a middling team. Would you part ways for that?
It's tough because honestly, like if you give me a late first in like this year's draft with the five quarterbacks that we have, and then also with like the wide receivers, and I'm sure one of these wide receivers is going to land in Kansas City or Buffalo,
And a
or there's going to
running
be a
back's going to get a good landing
the
spot.
running backs are going to get a good landing spot. It's like 110 is a pretty solid pick in Superflex. So I mean, even like any pick in Superflex is really solid. So yeah, I think I would sell.
I would have a tough time. I don't think I could bring myself to it. I have him in, I think, like one league where I'm trying to compete, where that might be the justification where I probably should sell him for that. But realistically, I would never be able to live with myself if I had like 4 or 5 shares and sold them all for first round picks, and then he goes to somewhere nutty, the next season. Or even, because that's the thing. I mean, it's so cloudy in Pittsburgh where everyone assumes Russell's just going to start this year no matter what. But I mean, it could be the field show halfway through,
Fields
or
could be
like
starting
five.
week one.
Right. You never know. I mean, all it takes is Russell to kind of crap the bed. They have no ties to him. They have $1 million contract for Wilson. I mean, if anything, they should be rooting for Fields to win the starting job week one because he's so much younger and has that higher ceiling. Like, so I don't know. It'll be a really interesting storyline to see play out, but I don't think I could sell.
The most Steelers thing that could ever happen is a quarterback goes down in camp and they trade him for a second round pick. And all he was a summer camp guy that they just doubled their value overnight. I could see that absolutely happening too. He's a huge buy for me. I can't get over the like how highly I'm rating. This is like a triple A bond, the amount that I want to buy in on Justin Fields right now.
Take that with caution, everybody, because Peter in fantasy football, when he says he wants somebody and he likes them, he's usually wrong. I mean, his team's never won a championship, so just proceed
It's
with
not
caution there.
true. It's not true.
You've never won.
I've never won in the league that I'm in with you. I have won in many leagues.
You win in your dad's league when you play with old boomers. Like, yes, because they're not tapped in. Pete, I love you, man, but I've never seen you win on the big stage. I've never seen it.
My big stage choker.
You don't even make it there, Pete.
So, PJ, I guess that begs a question. Like, what would you pay for Fields then? In a super flex league where you have to pay probably a little bit more than you want to.
I think super flex, I could do a late first and a second and like a mid second. I think that's probably as much as you could draw out of me. Because there is a really big chance where he could just flop and sit all year. But you just have to think, if he just sits all year, worst case scenario, he gets injured. He's going to get a starting opportunity next year. The quarterback class is not as good next year. There will
For sure.
be a
Yeah.
lot of teams that are interested.
I almost see it like you almost have to play it like Jordan Love's situation. Like, even with a higher upside of him to actually start, like, Love was never going to start when Rodgers was there in Green Bay. But, like, you could have bought Jordan Love for so cheap when Rodgers was in town. And I feel like Fields is not getting, that correct
You could have
value
gotten Love.
placement.
You could have gotten Love in Superflex leagues 2 years ago for like probably a second.
A sec, dude. I dropped him off my roster because I'm like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is never gonna leave. Like, so I don't know.
All right, let's get into our first mock. All right, Mr. Max, super producer, we have a 12-team half PPR one quarterback draft right here. We took three different places. Usually we try different places, but these are the quote unquote hardest for Super Producer and Max. And I chose the one final one because I want to make a stand. I'm planting my flag here. I'm taking Malik Nabers 101.
On the Giants.
I don't care. His body of work, I think, is far superior to Marvin Harrison Jr.'s in college. Marvin Harrison Jr., don't get me wrong, he will be phenomenal. He will be incredible. But I saw Malik Nabers this past year do that in the SEC with Jaden Daniels, who had a good year, phenomenal year, don't get me wrong. But he is not the best quarterback that you're going to see in the NFL by any stretch. I think Malik Nabers in a scheme that can fit him has Justin Jefferson potential. Like, that good. He can be that good. He can be Ja'Marr Chase. He can be Justin Jefferson. He can be Garrett Wilson if Garrett Wilson had a good offense. You know what I mean? Like, the way that I look at him, I see so much more in route running and in just agility and quick turn on Nabers than I do Harrison. I think Harrison's a big body, big name, highly recruited, Ohio State wide receiver. Don't get me wrong. Going to be phenomenal. If you have the 101 and you like Nabers, trade to the 102 and pretend you're going to take Harrison and get assets. But if there's a world where I can't trade, I'm at the 101. I like Nabers.
I feel like this is like an ex-girlfriend just like saying random stuff just to get attention. Like, I respect the bold stance and everything. And I think if Nabers goes to like Arizona or somewhere like with a quarterback where he can step in and be the one, and Marvin Harrison goes to like New York, then it probably is a conversation. But it's just like, and I do think Marvin Harrison's name definitely it helps his stock almost, if that makes sense.
Yes, the pedigree.
For me, I don't see it as that crazy of a statement to say that you like Nabers over Harrison, especially pre-draft, right? I mean, I think for me, the tiebreaker is going to be the actual NFL draft and the landing spots with those two guys. But at the top of the heap there, I mean, Nabers had damn near better numbers than Harrison all around the board this past season. And I get like Marv kind of had what's his name, McCord, throwing the ball to him, so that's not the best. And but regardless of that, like, Nabers just ran, I think at his pro day, a 4.35, had a 42-inch vertical. All right, man. I mean, it's kind of nitpicking at the top, so I don't necessarily see it as that big of a deal as you think it is, Max. But you know, I think they're both going to be great, and I respect the take, though.
I think he will succeed no matter his landing spot, because I think he fits more into the type of we'll find a way to get open, and any NFL quarterback can get him the ball when open. I don't know if Marvin Harrison has separation skills like Nabers does. Let's keep trucking along. Mr. Max, you're on the board at 4. I think 4 is the hardest pick in the draft. Malik Nabers goes 101, Marvin Harrison 102, Romo Dunze at 103.
I think that you'll see a combination of those three going. Obviously, you could see Brock Bowers going ahead of Odunze. It all just depends on landing spots, and I think this pick after April 25th is going to be drastically different, whether Xavier Worthy jumps up boards and goes to the Chiefs, or, I mean, Jonathan Brooks gets an insane landing spot in, like, Cincinnati or something like that, or Trey Benson or Blake Corum. I mean, Brock Bowers even gets a good landing spot with, like, Cincinnati. Like, whoever it might be, this pick is going to be of value. It's just a matter of like where that value is and what your team needs. Here, I'm going to go with Brock Bowers. I mean, like, he's in a generational prospect. Peter's been campaigning for him to be the 101 over Marvin Harrison for years, and then finally gets the 101 and takes Malik Nabers. So I'm taking Brock Bowers here. I'm pretty confident in the pick, and just you can't go wrong with tight end.
If Bowers gets picked to the Chargers, I will take Bowers 101. That's where I'm at. But it's about landing spot with him, and the more he slips, the less quarterback situations I like him with. Mr. C, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love Bowers. I mean, I feel like there's not much to say with him. I mean, he's the best tight end prospect of all time.
Yep.
And it's as easy as that. Like, you take him wherever he lands, doesn't really matter the landing spot, even if he's got another tight end in front of him that's pretty good. Like, the dude will produce at the NFL level, in at least by year two. I mean, definitely more than Pitts has. So
if Kyle Pitts was in this draft, Pitts would go after Bowers.
No, I'm with you.
Yes, 1,000,000%. Just the body of work that was put up by Bowers over three seasons, it's borderline untouched in college football. That's why Pitts was a big, like, what is it? They call him projects, project quarterback or project draft pick, where the size and the strength and the speed, you don't get that often, so they could teach him to be great. If you look up Bowers and Trey McBride, they played the same season. I think they had one season together, one or two seasons together in college. Obviously not at the same college, but those receiving numbers were pretty close. They were pretty close. Let's keep pumping forward. Caleb Williams off the board at 105. We'll talk about the quarterbacks when we do a super flex version of this a little bit later on the show. Brian Thomas, 106. Jaden Daniels, 107. Xavier Worthy, 108. Drake May, 109. Super producer, you got some options here at 110.
Yeah, so I do have some options. Top guys on the board, Adonai Mitchell, Troy Franklin, Jonathan Brooks, Ladd McConkey, Trey Benson.
Honestly, first running back at 110 would be insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to change with the NFL draft. I mean, there's three quarterbacks that go in this one quarterback league from 105 to 109. I think that's unrealistic. I think maybe at most there could be two. I don't think May will find his way, you know, in there, maybe as a 201, 202 kind of thing, maybe. But so for me at 110, I was expecting this pick to be way harder than I think it is. And I think it's just Adonai Mitchell all day long. I mean, the dude had, I think, the fifth best raw athletic score of all time. You know, his analytical numbers aren't amazing, right? But if you look at the film, he makes some plays that look special on the field. And obviously he tested great. And I don't know, he's a dude that I've liked for a while, produced a bit at Georgia, transferred to Texas and produced there, you know, with Xavier Worthy as a running mate. So I think this dude is going to be a beast, and honestly, probably a steal, because if he'll go to a good landing spot, some team will trade up in the second round to get him in the real NFL draft if he doesn't go in the first. I mean, I don't think he'll go in the first realistically in the real NFL draft, but in dynasty rookie drafts, he definitely will be in the first round because he'll get a good landing spot.
If he goes to the Chiefs or he goes to the Bills at the end of the first round there in the real draft, like, he will skyrocket up boards. Like, he'll probably be in conversation for 104, and I think that's a fair conversation. So that's a great value right there.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you, super producer. I loved his tape, seriously. Texas's offense this past season was a lot of fun to watch, and he was the more consistent between Worthy and Mitchell. So I really like him. After Adonai Mitchell goes, it goes to Troy Franklin and then Jonathan Brooks at the 112. Going to be excited to see how this shakes out coming up after April 15th. All right, we're going to come back to you in just a moment. We're going to do a first round super flex mock. Now, we won't talk about players that are position players as much. We'll go in depth on the quarterbacks a little bit more. All right, just like that, we're here for the super flex draft. We wanted to get a little bit more talking about the quarterbacks. This is a super flex 12 team half PPR league. I have the one overall. Max has taken the three, and super producer is lagging behind in the caboose at 108. It's going to be redundant to hear Caleb Williams' name go first overall on a lot of your super flex drafts, but I have to say, I'm not going to talk about the prospect. We all know how great the prospect is. I'm going to talk about the landing spot for a moment. Trevor Lawrence is one of the best prospects, like hardcore prospects of all time. Sam Darnold, one of the best prospects that Mel Kiper has ever graded. He was like a top three Mel Kiper graded prospect, and the landing spot just ruined both of them. Trevor Lawrence, his landing spot was not as bad as Sam Darnold. Not everyone can escape the Jets. But Trevor Lawrence, the way that I've seen him over the last couple years, he has not lived up to expectations at all, in the slightest. I think Caleb Williams' landing spot is as good as it gets for quarterbacks coming out of college. He's going to have not one, not two, but three elite wide receivers, because they're going to draft one at the 109, probably Rome Odunze. So he's got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. He's going to have a refurbished offensive line and a pretty good defense. I can't imagine a world, and Cole Kmet, who had a good year last year. I can't imagine a 101 overall generational talent, quote unquote, coming into the draft that is stepping into a better situation than this. There's a lot of people out there that want to be like the flashy pick saying, I'd rather Marv, I'd rather XYZ. This is as can't miss gets with quarterbacks and landing spots together. I've never seen anything like this. It's like a cataclysmic event, seriously.
There's no reason for him to fail. I don't think they draft Rome Odunze at 9. I don't. But with that offense that you just laid out for us, Peter, with Swift, with DJ Moore, with Keenan Allen, with Cole Kmet, with his legs, I don't really trust Matt Eberflus. I trust Ryan Poles, their GM. And I think that if Caleb Williams doesn't come in and succeed, I don't think a lot of people believe in him, honestly. I think a lot of people think he's kind of fake. And he's got a lot of haters to prove wrong, but I'm all in on this pick. I think that with his legs, with his arm talent, with that team around him, it really is a can't miss pick.
Yeah, man, I just want to see. I mean, I'll get back into sports betting if they put this line out there. Caleb Williams to break the yardage rookie record, the touchdown rookie record. How can I parlay those together and make a good parlay that's probably minus 2,000? Because I want to do that.
I think there's a chance he passes for 4,000 yards in his rookie season, breaking the Bears curse. He might, in his rookie season, he might break the Bears curse.
It really could happen, man. I mean, that dude, imagine, and sorry, I was kind of checked out there, but if they went Bowers at 9, I don't know if you said that, but dude.
Let's keep pushing forward to you, Max, at the 103. Who do you like here?
This is it's a tough spot, and this is actually the spot I'm in a super flex draft that we all play in here. And truly, it's one of those really hard things where it's like, I think Neighbors is probably the pick here, but it is a super flex draft, and I think passing on quarterback. I saw the post you sent in chat today, Mr. C. I think I'm going to have to take Jaden Daniels. Call me crazy, call me stupid, whatever you want. I mean,
just don't call me late for dinner.
Sure. I get infatuated. Whatever the word is, to quarterbacks
infatuated.
For quarterbacks that can rush the football, man. And Jaden Daniels going into Washington with Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Austin Eckler for dump downs, Brian Robinson. Like, it's not a bad offense to go into. And I feel like Drake May is also like really safe. And it's like,
I think May is going to get sat for a year. I think he's going to have a Patrick Mahomes year, but that's just me.
I'm gonna go with my gut here, and Mr. C is gonna bar me up, but I'm gonna take Jaden Daniels, man.
Mr. C, comments?
No, I mean, it's interesting. I like you said. I mean, that does make that a tough pick. You know, just trying to get the value at quarterback, right? Because for me, and that was a big reason. I mean, so in that same league, I traded you the 103 pick for Puka Nacua, and I still have the 104 pick. I was not going to take quarterback at 3 and 4 there, which, I mean, you could call me crazy. I just don't really believe in Daniels as a prospect. I get he has the rushing and all that stuff, but a fifth year player never really popped off, was at ASU for 2 years and had kind of subpar numbers, right? I mean, he had the monster year this past year, but I almost feel like you could put anybody, I mean, put Bo Nix in LSU and he probably wins a Heisman last year. So it's like, and that's the Bo Nix hate coming out. I know PJ has some words for that, but it's like, I don't know. I probably would pick Malik Nabers there, but it's all team dependent, context dependent on what you need. Like, if you need quarterback, you got to go with Daniels or May. And I would probably go with May, but that's kind of just my 2 cents.
Yeah. And like our draft that we have coming up here in June, whenever it is, I have Lamar, Anthony Richardson, and Bryce Young. I don't need a fourth quarterback. I mean, I'm going to go Neighbors. It's just that if you need a quarterback, like that rushing upside with those weapons that he could have with that high of draft capital, I don't know. It's tough to turn down for me.
This is the way that I look at it. Jaden Daniels, you'll know within the first probably year and a half, if you made the right choice. But if you go receiver, you have a 3-year, 4-year window where you can hold on hope. So one will give you their your return or loss faster. If you're more risk averse, I'd probably go wide receiver. All right, after Jaden Daniels goes Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Drake May, Brock Bowers at the 1-7, super producer. You're bricked up here. You would have the fourth best receiver, fourth best quarterback, running back, or say it with me, there's a Michigan man out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, my facial reaction was truly just off of like Drake May at 106, Bowers at 107. I mean, that is going to make some people some money, I feel like. That just seems like crazy value to have. I mean, even if it wasn't and it was Odunze or Nabers there, dude, I mean, the top seven picks in Superflex are freaking gold, man. I don't know. That's kind of my instant reaction, but at 108, it kind of played out how I wanted it to. I didn't want to pick Adonai Mitchell again because I probably would have, but it's got to be J.J. McCarthy here. And I'll just go out on a limb. I mean, he will not be available at the 108 in rookie drafts come post-NFL draft because he will end up going probably top three. It seems like that's all the steam I've been seeing. It could be the Will Levis smokescreen that we saw last year, but I don't think it is, dude. It seems like these NFL coaches, top level guys, really do think that J.J. McCarthy is the truth. He's a proven winner, national championship, all that kind of rah-rah stuff, right? No, it definitely is. And I think that's what NFL GMs buy into, right? I mean, especially Harbaugh pumping the guy up. I mean, I get that from his aspect because he's still kind of playing with the money at, what do they have, five the Chargers have?
Yeah.
I mean, so he's hoping to get some value.
Yeah. If a quarterback extra quarterback goes at four, they get their choice.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's smart play by him. But at the end of the day, it really does seem like all the steam is coming. So, J.J. McCarthy is the easy pick. If you are, like, if you do have a rookie draft before the NFL draft, I mean, I'd be picking J.J. McCarthy probably at 106, 105. I mean, because he's going to get – like, I'm almost certain that he will go top three.
The hype's honestly, it's kind of getting out of hand, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm not a J.J. McCarthy fan. I think Jim Harbaugh, whatever. It's like, he's just hyping him up. He's the best quarterback I've ever seen, blah, 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 blah. I get it. He won a lot of games at Michigan. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
I am not a fan in the slightest. He's like if Zach Wilson didn't have a lot of upside. But if Zach Wilson won a national championship, it's insane to me. Like the way I've watched J.J. McCarthy, I watch a lot of Big Ten football, and look, he never does anything that makes me say, wow. Was he asked to? Not really. But I don't know if he has it in him. But a lot of these guys think he's so young for the class. He's a very young player that they can mold and shape him. He's very small. He's not as big as people say that he is. I'm very nervous that I'll get proven wrong, but this is a hard and fast stance for me. He's a do not draft for me. I don't care where he is. If he's slipping into the second round, I can't draft him. And I think that's perfect for the show. It's so polarizing. Super producer loves him. I can't stand him.
I mean, if he's in the second round, I'll easily take him, but
I'd rather Bo Nix.
Yeah.
I'm so serious. I'd rather Penix. No, I'd rather the other two quarterbacks. Just watching all of them play, it's just night and day.
Yeah, for me too. I think the reason I'm so kind of amped up about it this go around is like I was seeing some propaganda on Twitter. I can't lie. I mean, Twitter's a great place for some fantasy football information, but there is, you know, the echo chambers that you kind of see the same stuff. But I saw it laid out. I mean, the dominance of Michigan, like you said, I mean, was McCarthy asked to have these historic comebacks? No, because I mean, they were just pummeling teams so badly that by the fourth quarter, the dude had to just sit back and just hand it off to Corum and Edwards. Like, so I mean, that is a part that leaves a question mark, right? I mean, he can win games when he has that, you know, dominant defense run game. What does it look like when he doesn't have that and he has to throw for 15 times in the fourth quarter or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, That is the question.
What is he going to do when he gets thrust into a place with a horrible offensive line, not the best offensive line in all of college football?
No, for sure. I mean, those are all questions, but just as a prospect, you know, I'm starting to fall into the hype too. It's like, I mean, the dude's a winner, really hasn't been out of many games in his college career. And there is something to be said for that, I feel like. So, I mean, it doesn't score you fantasy points, but hey, man.
All right. Last but not least, after J.J. McCarthy goes at the 108, we see Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Troy Franklin. Penix doesn't get off the board till 201. Brain shocker. So let's talk about these last two quarterbacks really quick, Max. Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Want to get your take and Super Producer's take on both of these guys.
I got it. I think I'm just going to give the floor to you for Bo Nix, Pete. You seem to really love this guy, and I got to hear it.
I think when you look at Bo Nix, you can say, yeah, he's 26 years old or whatever, however old he actually is. He's like the ultimate fifth or sixth year senior in college football because of the COVID year. And that's why he was so dominant, because he's a man playing with kids. I really don't see that. What I see is a man that played so much football and knows so much about offense, had five offensive coordinators in his 5 years of college football, and was playing at an elite level and was always in the Heisman conversation all five of those years, never had really down year throwing the football. I think it's very rare for a guy to be able to step into the NFL and have so much football knowledge that he's able to succeed at that next level. The way I look at him is similar to Jalen Hurts, where he has a good year, kind of gets outshined by other players in that year, goes in the second round, might be a backup, but when he gets his chance, he's not going to give it back. A team I'd really love to see him go to. And I know it's all over social media. Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos love him so much. There's rumors that he's going to get drafted in the top 15. The Broncos are going to use their pick on him. I absolutely love him. He's the prototype Drew Brees, a little tiny bit undersized, but has a decent arm, fully functional of an offense, and understands everything. I don't think this is the wow factor, like you're talking about, rolling right, making the throw across your body kind of guy, like the Zach Wilson highlight tape. But I think what you're getting is a very educated and very smart player for such a cheap cost. Like in this draft, he just went at the 208. If you're sitting there anywhere in the second round, I think you have to take him and Penix before really just about any of these receivers.
So I do think that I found the thing about Bo Nix that I'm not really a big fan of, right? I mean, you said that he's in the Heisman conversation every year. I mean, when he was at Auburn, he really wasn't. It was when he went over to Oregon when he really started to put out those big numbers. And, you know, that's the only thing. And, you know, shame on me because I don't really watch a ton of college football. Like, I'll watch it when the NFL prospects are coming in, you know, pre-draft, all that stuff. So I need to watch Bo Nix tape. That's number one. I haven't really. But I do remember him playing at Auburn and remember not being particularly impressed. And the numbers do back that up. I mean, he only had 2,500 passing yards one time in 3 years at Auburn, had 16 touchdowns was his high, and then had 12 and 11 touchdowns. I get it. You know, he's in the SEC, but I feel like there has to be some pause for a fifth-year player who only can really start putting up numbers when he's in the Pac-12, where they don't really like to play defense over there. So that's my only thing. I could be wrong. I understand your point, though, about the experience. That does play a factor, but I think that's my only thing with him. And like, as far as Penix goes, Penix just seems like a time bomb to me, because the dude has just had injuries throughout his whole college career and had the 1 year of production this past season. While he looked good doing it, I just can't really buy into that guy. I mean, I would be drafting wide receivers over Penix for sure. Probably over Bo Nix, like Roman Wilson, McConkey even. McConkey might be a harder one for me, but I do see why people like him, and the allure of a quarterback in Superflex is nice, but I'm just kind of more bearish.
All right. Only time will tell. All right. We will be seeing all of you next week. We're going to be doing a rookie ranking. It's that time of year. We're going to start. We're going to figure out running back, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end rankings for this upcoming class. We'll do them maybe one or two every week. Appreciate you all for tuning in. See you next week for episode 130. Follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Monarchy, DynastyMonarchy. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Dynasty Monarchy podcast. Fancy some fantasy advice? Tweet or DM at Dynasty Monarchy on Twitter. Until next time, farewell, my fellow kings and queens.